Match day two delivered no shortage of drama. They tore up the script on Tuesday, and Wednesday night brought its own theatrics. Neymar dazzled under the lights at the Parc des Princes.
It's a decent effort. It's better than decent. It's an absolute thunderbolt from Neymar. What a way to bring up the hat-trick. Sensational from the Brazilian.
Napoli took their time, waiting until the death to score their winner against Liverpool.
Here's Callejon. In early, there's the goal! Lorenzo Insigne, Napoli's darling, wins it in the 90th minute against Liverpool.
Meanwhile, it was goals galore at Wembley, but Barcelona's magic man put the game to bed.
Allowed to run by Suarez, it's going to open up here for Lionel Messi to settle it with his second goal of the game and fourth for Barcelona in the last minute of the 90 to win it at Wembley.
Elsewhere, there were victories for Schalke in the other early kickoff, Dortmund, Porto, Atletico Madrid and Inter. We'll bring you key analysis and reaction to Wednesday night's matches. So stay with us here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Chris Parrott and the European football expert Andy Brassel is alongside me. Wednesday night, Champions League, where to start? So many stories, so many fantastic moments as well.
Yes, absolutely. And we weren't disappointed by our match at Wembley between Spurs and Barcelona. But the great thing about it is it kept going. Even when it looked as if Barcelona had the game in the palm of their hand, they could have won it more comfortably. But Tottenham, who were one of the strongest sides in last season's UEFA Champions League, didn't give up. And then you've got so many other contenders. You look at Inter. They look as if they've got something about them this season. Two wins out of two after coming out of pot four. Dortmund recovering their best form in this competition, recalling memories of themselves in getting to the 2013 final. And, of course, Napoli.
Indeed. And what struck me, a great night for some of European football's great goal scorers, which is always good in the UEFA Champions League. Here is all of the match day two results then. On Tuesday, in Group E, Bayern 1, Ajax 1, and AEK Athens 2, Benfica 3. Hoffenheim 1, Manchester City 2 in Group F, Lyon 2, Shakhtar 2. In Group G, CSKA Moskva 1, Real Madrid 0, and Roma 5, Victoria Plzeňa 0. In Group H, Juventus 3, Young Boys 0, and Manchester United 0, Valencia 0. But we're going to concentrate on Wednesday's games, of course. Group A, Borussia Dortmund 3, Monaco 0, Atletico Madrid 3, Club Brugge 1. In Group B, Tottenham 2, Barcelona 4, PSV Eindhoven 1, Inter 2. Group C, Paris Saint-Germain hit 6 against Sivena Zvezda, who got 1. Napoli 0, Liverpool 0. And in Group D, Lokomotiv Moskva 0, Schalke 1, Porto 1, Galatasaray 0. Let's focus first at Wembley, where Tottenham welcomed Barcelona. Phil Blacker, watch this one for us.
It is cut back here for the shooting chance and the opening goal. Coutinho couldn't really miss. It opened up for him. It has taken Barcelona a matter of 90 seconds or so to score first at Wembley. Rakitic, oh, for 2-0. Wonderful strike. Caught it so cleanly from way outside of the penalty area. It flies past the goalkeeper in off the post. Harry Kane's into the penalty area. Checks onto the right foot. Scores. Right-footed effort across the goalkeeper into the far corner. And Tottenham are back in the game. A first sight of goal, really, for Harry Kane tonight. He has made it count. Suarez standing over it, letting it run. Messi's there. He's got his goal this time. Breathtaking from Barcelona. And this time, Lionel Messi is there to finish it off as well and guide it into the corner. Touched on to Lamela. And Lamela on the left foot. Oh, he scored! Tottenham have got another one. The comeback is on. It's Lamela. Allowed to run by Suarez. It's going to open up here for Lionel Messi to settle it with his second goal of the game and fourth for Barcelona in the last minute of the 90 to win it at Wembley.
Lionel Messi did it again. Phil joins us now. He was at his irresistible best. Could have scored more. We thought at one stage Tottenham might come back and get a point. It all happened, didn't it?
It really did. It was fascinating from the very first whistle. The opening goal coming just 92 seconds in, and the drama really was unrelenting after that. But you're right, Messi again, really the main man. He has scored 8 hat-tricks, hasn't he, in the UEFA Champions League, including the one against PSV on match day 1 on another night. He could very easily have had another one because he hit almost exactly the same spot at the post twice in quick succession in the second half before he got his first goal. But they needed him to keep coming up with the goals, because back in the game, really at moments where it looked like they were beaten. It was a pretty Spurs in the first half, didn't quite recover from the Neo. They just got a foot in the game when Ivan Rakitic converted the goal of the game, and there were some contenders for that accolade, but a brilliant volley just before the half hour. They were in charge at 2-0 at half time. And even when Harry Kane got Spurs back in it, up until that moment, you didn't really sense that a comeback was likely. But Barcelona responded. Spurs were back within one goal for only 4 minutes before Messi did get his name on the score sheet. And yet then Spurs came again. Lamela's effort deflected in. And after that, I think that was the stage of the game where Tottenham most likely looked like they could potentially get a point, despite being outplayed for long periods of the game. And it was only in the last minute of the 90 when Messi had the final say that I think probably the final score reflected more what we'd seen over the course of the 90 minutes.
Well, let's hear from Eric Lamela there, one of Tottenham's goal scorers, speaking after Spurs' second straight defeat in this season's competition.
It was a very difficult game for us. They managed very good the ball. For us, it was too difficult to play, especially the first half. In the second half, we were better and we dominated a little bit more. And then they have a lot of players in front that they are very dangerous and they can score in any minute.
Well, Lamela had a lovely embrace of Leo Messi in the tunnel before kickoff. He'll probably be pleased to see the back of him after that 90 minutes. Andy Brassel, Wembley's a very special ground for Barcelona. It's a huge pitch, we know, and they seem to really, really enjoy themselves again at the National Stadium of England.
Yeah, it felt, I guess, to Leo Messi like he was coming home.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like 2011 all again. Of course, we associate Wembley with Barcelona in 1992, but in its current incarnation, really, they gave one of the definitive UEFA Champions League final performances of recent years, I think in 2011 against Manchester United, and Messi was a huge part of that. I mean, if we rewind less than a decade, people in England used to say Messi never scores against English teams, and of course he broke that duck in fantastic style with the header, unbelievably a penalty spot header in the final in Rome against Manchester United in 2009. It's clear that he feels like it has been too long and he's taken it upon himself to change that.
Yeah, the rest of Europe needs to take note. 22 goals in 29 games against English sides, so I don't think we can level that one at him.
We definitely can't.
Tottenham had a lot of injuries, Phil. They missed big players like Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen, didn't they?
They did. There's no escaping that. Any team would miss players of that quality, as they proved in this competition. They were so integral to Tottenham winning their group 12 months ago. But I think maybe more of an impact was the fact, not necessarily the individuals that were missing, but there were so many of them, which meant therefore, by definition, really, Tottenham had to put a team out that weren't overly used to playing with each other. They were struggling at times to find their fluency, not helped by the quality, of course, of the opposition. And who's to say if Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen and Jan Vertonghen had been out there, it might have been different. It might not have been different. We will never know. I'm not convinced it would be. It didn't help Tottenham's cause, but I certainly don't think you can put that down as the primary reason for the result.
So Barcelona, 2 wins from 2 in Group B. So too Inter, back in the competition for the first time in 6 years and excelling. They fell behind to PSV. Pablo Rosario it was a night of brilliant goals. This one from the edge of the box as well. And at that stage, PSV were well worth their lead. But Raja Nainggolan on half-time levelled things up. And then Mauro Icardi. It's amazing to think it's his first season in the Champions League, but he scored. And for the second match day running, Inter come back from 1-0 down to win 2-1. The Group B standings then, well, it's pretty definitive because Barcelona and Inter lead the way with 6 points and PSV and Spurs have no points. On match day 3, Wednesday the 24th of October, PSV against Tottenham and Barcelona against Inter. Massive game, particularly for PSV and Spurs. The loser of that one could pretty much be out of this season's Champions League already. Right, on to Group A, where it finished Borussia Dortmund 3, Monaco 0, and the Lucien father of revolution, Andy Brassel, shows no signs of slowing down.
Absolutely not, Chris. And there are goals all over this team, as we've seen throughout the season. 12 different goal scorers in the Bundesliga and three different goal scorers tonight. Again, Dortmund's bench showing the sort of depth it has. Jakob Brun-Larsen coming off the bench to break the deadlock and then set up the last one for Marco Reus in between Paco Alcácer, scoring one and missing a penalty. Could have been a lot worse for Monaco. And if you think this was a UEFA Champions League quarter-final a year and a half ago, yeah, well, they've gone in very different direction since, and you know, Dortmund look a dark horse for the competition.
They do. Just a quick word on Monaco, because it has been an extremely tough start to the campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, and a huge turnover of players. But if there's anyone you can trust to shape a new generation, it's Leonardo Jardim. And I guess now these two games against Club Brugge become very, very important in terms to carry on in Europe after Christmas.
Absolutely. Club Brugge beaten on Wednesday at the Metropolitano, which will host the final. Atletico, 3-1 winners. They took the lead through Antoine Griezmann. Arno Groenewald scored another, I keep on mentioning spectacular goals, but this one was good to level things up at half-time. Then Griezmann scored a second for Atletico. Koke in the 94th minute wrapped it up. Diego Costa went off injured, and Atletico will certainly hope that he is not out for too long, but they were slow starters last season, didn't make it through, of course, went on to win the Europa League. But there was a sense right from the beginning with their stadium hosting the final that Diego Simeone was not going to let them not qualify again.
Yeah, and they must have felt a bit of a wobble after that equalising goal, because, of course, it was the two draws against Karabag, assumed to be the weakest team in the group, that cost them in last year's group stages. Well, they're not having that again. They've got it over the line, and that's why Diego Simeone was celebrating so belligerently.
He was.
At the final whistle.
Great celebration. Lots of fist pumps. Dortmund and Atletico, 6 points. Monaco and Club Brugge, no points. 24th of October, Club Brugge host Monaco. Dortmund face Atletico. Right, Paris Saint-Germain got Wednesday night's action underway in some style as they took on Cervena Zvezda in one of the early games. Commentary from Richard Kaufman.
It's Neymar, right-footed, and he's found the corner of the net. It's a wonderful strike from Neymar, and Paris Saint-Germain, inside 20 minutes, have taken the lead. Neymar, 2-0 on the volley, two goals in the matter of, what, 2.5 minutes, and just like that, it's a two-goal advantage.
Neymar and Di Maria now over the ball. It's going to be Neymar. It's a decent effort. It's better than decent. It's an absolute thunderbolt from Neymar. What a way to bring up the hat-trick. Sensational from the Brazilian. Absolute pure brilliance from Neymar. Six of the best. Paris Saint-Germain, 6. Cervena Zvezda, 1.
Well, match day 2 is hat-trick week, isn't it? Edin Dzeko, Paulo Dybala, and a certain Neymar. Lift off for Paris Saint-Germain after match day 1 defeat.
Yeah, possibly even the best of the lot, but on a night of great goals. Marco Marin scored a fantastic one for Cervena Zvezda, so they weren't to be kept away as well. But very important for Paris to recover after that match day 1 defeat.
And he played the big four, didn't he? Neymar, Cavani, Di Maria and Mbappe. And they all scored. Potentially rather ominous for Cervena Zvezda, their biggest ever UEFA competition defeat. And where do Paris, how much do we learn from this win, do you think, for Paris against opposition they would have expected to beat?
Not an enormous amount, but having said that, Napoli didn't beat them on match day 1. So you do think Cervena Zvezda could kind of be kingmakers in this group. Points that they take off the other teams could make a difference.
That's a very, very interesting point, and absolutely correct. Well, elsewhere on Wednesday night, Liverpool travelled to face Napoli in Group C as well. This one was watched for Match Day Live by Richard Connolly.
Oh, super reverse pass. Here's Kayahon. In early, there's the goal! Lorenzo Insigne, Napoli's darling, wins it in the 90th minute against Liverpool. Beautifully worked down the right-hand side, and the low cross slid home by Insigne. It's Napoli 1, Liverpool 0.
Richard Connolly joins us now. You had to wait for a goal, but it was well worth it, particularly if you're of Napoli persuasion. What a victory.
Yeah, it was well deserved in the end, Chris. It was a lot tighter, it was a lot cagier the whole game than we were expecting, particularly in the first half where there was great volume from the crowd. But very little in terms of volume of chances. Milik forced one save from Alisson in the Liverpool game, but it was the only save of that first half. Napoli were containing Liverpool's threat, defending excellently, finding more space in wide areas with this fluid formation that at times looked like a back four, others switched to a back three. In the second half, their chances got better and better, Napoli. Kayahon had one cleared off the line about 15 minutes from time. Mertens struck the crossbar from a Mario Rui cross, and then that goal, which was set up by Mertens and Kayahon for Insigne right at the end. No way Liverpool were coming back, and we knew that because they'd failed to have a shot on target in the entire game. None of their four attempts in the 90 minutes was from inside the Napoli penalty box. The first time this season, that they failed to score, and on a poor night for them, they also lost Naby Keita to injury. The group has really swung in Napoli's favour after they dropped points in match day one, a vital 3 points for them this evening.
Certainly was. Let's hear from Jurgen Klopp then, speaking at the Stadio San Paolo.
First half, I think it was completely okay, not very good, but absolutely okay. And second half, then, you know, how I said, we deserved, or Napoli deserves the 3 points, of course, and even when they scored a goal pretty late. But we made a few mistakes, but Ali's son could make decisive saves most of the time. But that goal, we made a big mistake because there was a big gap in our defense, and we have to close that, and that's why they could play like they played, and then you cannot defend it anymore, that ball, and it was a really hard ball, and Insigne 1 yard in front of the goal, so that's then difficult.
Jurgen Klopp there. Richard, did Carlo Ancelotti do a number on Liverpool tonight? I mean, not many stopped them from having chances. We talked in the build-up how different Napoli are to Maurizio Sarri's teams, and maybe for Ancelotti this is his biggest result since taking over at the club.
Yeah, it's a huge result for them, no doubt about it. I mean, given that Napoli, for all their entertainment value last season, went out in the group stage and then went out in the first knockout round of the UEFA Europa League. So this is a big step forward for them with their aim to get into the knockout phase of the Champions League. They were very strong defensively, didn't really give Salah, Firmino and Mane a kick between them. With this fluid formation, they moved Mario Rui into advanced positions down the left-hand side. That forced Alexander-Arnold, Liverpool's right back, back. Kayahon kept Robertson pinned back. Very seldom could the Liverpool fullbacks join in. Napoli was strong in midfield. Alan and Hamsik were excellent, seldom gave the ball away. Fabian Ruiz in the first half got into good positions down the left side. And then when they made the changes, and of course it is much more of a squad game with Napoli this season, Mertens came on and made the difference. And for all Jurgen Klopp can speak there about them getting into bad positions, Mertens' skill created that space for Kayahon, who was able to play an excellent ball in for the winning goal in the 90th minute. So it is more about the squad game, it's more about tactical flexibility from Carlo Ancelotti. And yes, to keep Liverpool from scoring, but to keep them from having any kind of meaningful attempt on goal, Ospina made a couple of interventions to get out quickly to through balls in the second half, but he didn't actually have to make a save as such in the entire match. It's partly down to Napoli's excellence. It's also partly down to the fact that Liverpool are a little bit lacking in the dynamism that we saw from them last season. That front three not playing with the confidence of last season. And I think in particular, Mo Salah is not quite hitting the heights yet. He doesn't look to have the same confidence to me.
Very interesting and fascinating. By the way, for the first time since 2005, all four Italian teams have won in the same Champions League week. Great for Serie A, certainly, and great for Napoli. Group D is the final one that we're going to look at. Lokomotiv Moskva 0, Schalke 1 in one of the early games. Great night for Weston McKennie, who headed home a Konoplyanka corner late on for his first goal for the club. And then later on, this always looked, Andy Brassel, like a very tight section. Porto 1, Galatasaray 0. Massive win, therefore, for the Portuguese team.
Absolutely, and it's hard to believe that there was only one goal in a game where there were so many clear chances. Iker Casillas making a couple of vital saves on behalf of Porto, notably one from Sinan Gumush, but some pressure from Porto as well. And Fatih Terim, with his side having created so many chances, will be upset that they conceded the one goal from a set piece. Alex Telles, formerly of Galatasaray, setting it up for Musa Marega, who said before the game that he wanted to step up and score the goals in the Champions League now that Suarez and Vincent Aboubakar, more long-term, are unavailable.
Well, Group D is like this. Porto and Schalke with 4 points, Gala with 3 points, and Lokomotiv Moskva with 0 points. Wednesday the 24th of October, Lokomotiv Moskva host Porto, and it's Galatasaray against Schalke in Istanbul. Right, gents, final word on this evening's game. Start with you, Phil Blacker, commentator for Tottenham Barca. If I ask you for the man of the match, it's going to be pretty obvious. Moment of the game.
Moment of the game doesn't actually directly involve Messi, because it has to be the Ivan Rakitic goal for 2-0. Wonderful volley. That, the standalone moment of the match, and what a strike it was as well. Regardless of what then happened afterwards, that will live long in the memory.
Richard Connolly, same question to you then. Moment of the night?
Yeah, the moment of the night came right at the end here for Napoli, but man of the match I'd give to Kalidou Koulibaly, who had an excellent game at the back for the home side.
Very interesting. And Andy Brassel, from all the other matches, what particularly stood out for you?
Well, it has to be Borussia Dortmund's incredible substitutes bench, starting with that Jakob Brynn-Larsen opener.
Very interesting. Well, it's been such an entertaining night. My fantasy football team's taken a big hit. Who knows where Phil Blacker's wonderful team is, but we shall see. We are out of time here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. What a glorious night of group stage action we have been treated to. We could really talk about it until match day three, in all honesty. In Wednesday's featured matches, it was a six-goal thriller at Wembley Stadium in London. Lionel Messi sealing the deal again for Barcelona over Tottenham Hotspur. In contrast, it came down to a last-gasp goal for Napoli in their win over Liverpool. That section, by the way, is absolutely beautifully teed up, Group C. Neymar's hat-trick added considerable force to Paris Saint-Germain's 6-1 thumping of Crvena Zvezda from Belgrade. And there are also wins for Schalke, Porto, Dortmund and Atletico in the other matches on Wednesday night. Tuesday, that was pretty good as well on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Wins for Manchester City, Juventus, Benfica, Roma and CSKA Moskva, who beat the holders Real Madrid in Moscow. What a victory that was for them. Do join us on Tuesday the 23rd and Wednesday the 24th of October for more of the finest European football from the best competition around. Manchester United against Juve, Barca-Inter and Roma-CSKA. So make sure you tune in to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. But from all of us, it's goodbye.
Neymar and Di Maria now over the ball. It's going to be Neymar. It's a decent effort. It's better than decent. It's an absolute thunderbolt from Neymar. What a way to bring up the hat-trick. Sensational from the Brazilian. Allowed to run by Suarez. It's going to open up here for Lionel Messi to settle it with his second goal of the game. And fourth for Barcelona in the last minute of the 90 to win it at Wembley.
Here's Callejon. In early, there's the goal!
Lorenzo Insigne, Napoli's darling, wings it in the 90th minute against Liverpool.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.